This is 90.3 KEDM Monroe. Good evening. I'm Corey Crow. We're tonight at the Monroe Civic Center, and we're here in a room full of people tonight, and we've got a radio audience joining us tonight on 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. This is another in our series of our Meet the Candidate forums. It's a chance for us tonight to ask questions of our candidates and see where they stand on issues. Tonight's forum is put on by 90.3 KEDM in conjunction with the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. And with us today is President and CEO of the Monroe Chamber, Sue Nicholson. And Sue's going to talk a little bit about voting and when you can vote and when you can register and all of those things.
Well, first of all, on behalf of the Monroe Chamber, thank you all for coming out tonight. Thanks to all of our candidates for participating. And let me give you a little information if you don't have it on the upcoming election. It is on Saturday, April 4th. The deadline to register is March 4th, and that is to vote in person or by mail. The deadline to register using the Go, spelled G-E-A-U-X, Go app, is March 14th, and then early voting is March 21st through the 28th, except for Sunday, and that is open. The polls are open 8:30 to 6 p.m., and the deadline to request absentee ballots is March 31st, and you can find all of that on the Go Vote app, and we encourage all of you to go and vote.
And thank you, Sue. We appreciate the Monroe Chamber for being with us tonight. Speaking of that, just so you know, on this ballot, we've got candidates for mayor of Monroe. We've got five candidates, all of them with us tonight. We also will have Monroe City Council folks, and we're going to meet back in this room next Monday night and do this all over again with the City Council folks. Also on the ballot, this time you get to nominate a president. So if you're a Republican or a Democrat, you've got a slew of choices in the presidential nomination. And there's also some Democrat and Republican state committee members that you'll also have a chance to vote on. With us tonight are all five candidates for mayor of the city of Monroe. We've got Marie Brown, Friday Ellis, Frederick Lewis, Jamie Mayo, and Ronnie Scott. Now, tonight we'll give our candidates a chance to make a two-minute opening statement, and we've randomly drawn, and our first opening statement will go to Mayor Mayo. Mayor Mayo, I'm going to get y'all to stay at y'all's seat, if you don't mind. We'll do them at the seat, just to make it easy. That way we don't have to get up since we're on the radio. Mayor Mayo, 2 minutes to make an opening statement, sir.
Good evening. It's good to have all of you here tonight. I'm Mayor Jamie Mayo. I'm Monroe proud to be the mayor of the city of Monroe for the past 19 years. There's been a number of positive things that have gone on in the city of Monroe, from economic development, also from flood recovery, and we'll talk a little bit about those, the I-20 Economic Development District, also the Tower Amman Downtown Southside Economic Development District. And in fact, we've supported the chamber in a huge way. Crime is down for the last 2 years. I'm authentic. In other words, I'm genuine. I have not moved from one place to the other like Mr. Ellis has, moving from West Monroe to Monroe in the last 2.5 years and changing parties from Republican to independent. I guess to run for mayor, I guess we'll learn a little bit more about that. But a number of things that we've done here that's been very successful. We have supported the university, ULM, which I'm a proud graduate in business administration, in addition to working with them on a number of different projects. So when you look around the city of Monroe, there's signs of progress all over the city of Monroe. And what you'll find here with my opponents, they don't have a plan, only to tear the city down or tear me down because they don't have a plan. They don't have anything specific, but just generalities to fool you. But that's not what I've been about. That's not what our administration has been about. We've been about working really hard to make a difference in our community. And we have made a difference. We'll continue to make a difference. We're gonna go into the next term when you reelect me as mayor of the city of Monroe. We have so many things to talk about, which consists of a $60 million water project that will enhance our water treatment plant. And also, we're going to technology. We'll continue technology and do a lot of positive things that you'll be proud of. But I'm genuine and I'm authentic. God bless you and keep you, and I ask for your vote, number 189.
That's Jamie Mayo, Mr. Mayo's running as a Democrat. Next up, making our opening statement, the two-minute opening statement, will be Ronnie Scott. Ronnie's running as a Libertarian candidate.
Hey, hi, my name is Ronnie Scott, as he said, running as a Libertarian. A couple of the reasons, in case that ever comes up, I think if anybody, I see a lot of cell phones out, so that means we've been tuned into public policy here lately, obviously, or we wouldn't be here. And it's gotten pretty disgusting out there. And so as we look forward to progress, we cannot move past the human issues or none of it matters. And I look forward to going over a few of those things. I was born here and educated here. My work experience crosses across the country. And I'm looking forward to line out some of the things that we've been working on here for years, some of the progress that we've made, and some of the turnkey projects that'll take place as soon as the office changes in July. And I appreciate your time. Thanks.
That's Ronnie Scott, candidate for mayor. Next up is L. Marie Brown, running as a Democrat. Mrs. Brown, you have 2 minutes.
2 minutes. All right. Good afternoon. I'm more than authentic. I'm human, and I'm looking forward to make changes in Monroe. And that's what it's all about. So if someone looks at that they need to change to come to Monroe, that's what we want. We want people to want to come to Monroe. So I welcome anybody that wants to come to Monroe. I will promote and assist with infrastructure, business, look at Centrelink to they're already subject to stay here for 5 years. After this next election, we'll only have 1 year left. So we need to look at doing things that not just inclusive to what's going on. Two districts you have perfected. My goal is to make sure that District 3, 4, and 5 bring some things to that district. We're not here, I'm going to speak for me. I'm not here to tear anybody down, but I am here to make sure that things change in Monroe. And the only way we can cause them to change is to change administration.
Thank you. That's Ms. L. Marie Brown. Friday Ellis is running as an independent candidate. Mr. Ellis, 2 minutes.
Yes. Thank you. I'm Friday Ellis. I'm a small business owner here in town. I have three beautiful children who all attend Monroe City Schools. I'm married to a public school educator, and not just an educator, someone who has devoted her entire life to educating children who don't have advocates, and she's worked in poverty schools, and she's been a great inspiration to many in this community. You want to ask me why I'm running? It's because I want to build a future that includes my family. I want to build a future that includes your families as well, and they don't have to leave for opportunity. They can find it here in Monroe, Louisiana. I'm proud to say that if you boil it down to one word, I'd say it's courage. And I say courage is a word that defines my service to my country, my service to this community. Started years ago with the courage to ask someone out that was way out of my league and out kick my coverage, and thankfully she said yes, and it's been the best 19 years of my life. It was the courage just right after our marriage to know that our country needed servicemen and women to step up after 9/11, and I did that, and that was rewarding as well. It was the courage to adopt a little girl who had special needs. And to understand that God's promise to our family was greater than any fear that we would face. And once again, when I stepped up, when I knew this city needed a new direction, a new energy, and a new vision, once again, I stepped up to say, send me, I will go. If you ask me again, if we're going to grow as Monroe, we need to grow together. And how are we supposed to work together when we tear each other down and say the nastiest things about each other? We're a positive community. We're a community that comes together and works together when called to, and I think this is an opportunity to show the rest of this region how we operate as adults on this stage. Thank you.
Friday Ellis, thank you. Next up, Frederick Lewis. Mr. Lewis is running as a Democrat. Thank you for being here. You have 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you for having me. My name is Frederick Lewis. I'm number 188 on the ballot, and I'm a product of Monroe. I grew up right behind here on the south side, South 7th Street, as a matter of fact. I graduated from Wasserman High School, graduated at ULM with my bachelor's in mathematics, and recently graduated with my master's in teaching from Grambling State University. Everything that I have is rooted here in Monroe. I've grown up here. I've seen the best and the worst in Monroe. I've seen us be a city that was once united, come to division. I want to be the leader that brings us back together again. I want to be the leader of everybody, a leader of a whole city. My family is here. My wife and I are raising our two daughters here. I don't plan on going anywhere. Monroe is my home, is what I love. Not only do I do that, but every day that I wake up, I go out and I educate the future of Monroe and our students. It is my pleasure to be a public servant. I've been a public servant most of my life. And I want to elevate that public service to the office of mayor. As mayor of Monroe, I plan to bring my plans, my thoughts, my innovations, my visions for the future of Monroe to the office of mayor so that we can improve Monroe, not only just be a Monroe that is satisfied with where we are, but a better Monroe, a Monroe that is looking out for the future, a Monroe that is looking out not only for the best of us, but for the least of us. I want to be your mayor, number 188 on the ballot.
That's Frederick Lewis. Thank you, sir. Now, we used our randomizer app tonight, and coming up next are our questions. And our winner of our first question will go to Ronnie Scott, and then we're going to work from Ronnie Scott. Ms. Brown, we'll start with you and then come back this way, and we'll do that every time. Everybody's going to get a chance to have a question first. Mr. Scott, what in your life prepared you to be the mayor of Monroe? What's your experience in education or business that qualifies you for this job?
That's a great question. So I want to say first that Lord Jesus Christ has been number one in preparing me for this. I lived a lot of my life as a pretty selfish individual. And then as that shift came through manhood, it's really opened my eyes as to, they say the biggest room in the world is the room for self-improvement. And so what I've done, what I did, spend the last few years here at my home making the developments that not only I want for my life and possibly future generations, but also what my neighbors want. And what we've been doing is working together in housing. I've been in single-family housing for 16 years, HUD certified. For fair housing, and I think that's something that needs to be revisited across the board here. And as we, I've also been several management positions with retail outlets and own several other nonprofits and small businesses.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. We're doing 1 minute answers here, and next the question goes to L. Marie Brown. What in your life prepared you to be the mayor? What's your experience in education or business that qualifies you to be the mayor of Monroe?
Well, I only have a high school education, but I have worked in this community for over 50 years. I have studied the budget. I have studied the city charter. I have come to every council meeting. I have passion for this city. And once that you have a passion for something, you can become self-educated and know what it takes. Follow the city, know what's going on, know what's missing. I walk outside of my community every day and see what's missing. I understand drainage. I understand infrastructure. Look at your telegram poles. You see them leaning? That's an infrastructure problem. I understand our water problems because I make sure that I study what's going on. I go to every department and make sure that I know what every department is doing, and just to make sure that we do what it takes to be a mayor of this city.
Thank you. Friday Ellis, the question goes to you next. What in your life prepared you to be the mayor? What's your experience in education or business that qualifies you?
Yeah. Being a small business owner and writing checks for a living and signing checks for a living really puts things into perspective for you. As small business owners, we have to be adaptive. We at Governor Cigar and Pipe market to 6% of this total population, so we have to be excellent in everything we do. We wear many hats as small business owners. I don't have a marketing department. I don't have an accounting department. You're looking at them. I'm looking forward to working with department heads, coming up with a plan, setting the vision, setting accountability measures, and working together as a team. I work best in collaborative environments. I think we have some great employees for the city of Monroe, Louisiana, and I look forward to working with them when I become mayor. I also worked for the city of Monroe. I had a great time working for the city of Monroe as a construction inspector in the engineering department. It was a great time in my life, and I appreciate my experience there.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Frederick Lewis, the question goes to you next. What in your life prepared you to be the mayor? What's your experience in education or business that qualifies you?
Well, I'm a public educator, and more than that, I'm a math teacher, so I solve problems. And it's my job to be both analytical and creative. Not only that, but I'm a mentor. Being a mentor, see, teacher is the greatest profession because you have to take on so many aspects. Not only that, but you have to learn how to work with people on every level, families from every background. And that is the quality that we need in a mayor, somebody who can work with anybody, somebody who can work with everybody, somebody that can bring people to the table with understanding and be able to lead and guide. And my biggest quality is my leadership. Leadership that has spanned over decades, working underground in the city. I've been an employee of the 4th Judicial District DA's office, working in juvenile diversion. So I have a plan and a direction to take Monroe into a better way.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Mr. Jamie Mayo, the question goes to you next. What in your life prepares you to be the mayor? What's your experience in education or business that qualifies you?
Well, first of all, I am the mayor. And I've been the mayor for 19 years, and I've been able to be a quarterback in high school, a point guard in high school, as well as a point guard also in college at ULM. And I have a degree, BBA degree, Bachelor's of Business Administration. And then I've been a city council member. I've had a business for over 20 years, in addition to being the mayor for the past 19 years. So being a mayor is nothing to play with. You're the chief executive officer. It's no different from IBM or CenturyLink, other than the fact that they make way more than I do. But you have to be dedicated and committed to the task at hand. This is nothing to play with. You're leading people. You're dealing with 1,200 employees. You're dealing with more than one employee or two employee. You're doing so many different things. You're dealing with unions. You're dealing with local, state, federal government. You're building relationship, and that's what I've done this past 19 years.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo. The next question will go to you, Ms. Brown, and it comes to you first. What are the top three challenges here in the city of Monroe, and what would you do about them if elected?
Well, crime is number one to me because I live in the district where there is a lot of crime. Putting together programs for youth, not having them just blunder around this city. We have so many rec centers with no programs in them. That is ridiculous. Our tax dollars pay for these facilities. We need to have awesome programs going in them. The next thing that I would not build a arena. Building an arena would take away from the things that need to be done that we can do quickly in this city. So let's look at doing things that will build this city up as a whole and not just keep doing things because we desire to do them, even though you may not understand that everybody's not even being taken care of, not the city workers, not the community, nobody.
That's time. Thank you, Ms. Brown. Next, the question goes to Friday Ellis. Mr. Ellis, what are the top three challenges for Monroe, and what do you do about them?
Crime, flooding, and economic development. I don't think we have a long enough runway to talk about all three, but I'll talk to you about what I know. I know it's too hard to do business in Monroe, Louisiana. I think we need to make it easier to do business in Monroe, Louisiana. I'm going to give you a prime example. I have friends of mine with a $2.5 million investment, destination-style business that bring people to Monroe City. Do you think anyone from this administration has came and said, thank you for your business, how can we help you grow, and how can we get out of the way? I think that's a disservice to the people who've invested here. I think it's time that we realize that we need a shock to the system, and we need incentive programs for small business as well. One of the incentive programs I want to do for small business is to bring to you your first year of business. We give you a 30% rebates on the sales tax dollars you've generated for the city of Monroe, not the city. Second year, a 20% rebate. The third year, a 10% rebate. And it gives them a reason to stay on this side of the river and not go build in Ruston or West Monroe. That's what it takes to understand business from someone who signs checks for a living every single day.
That's time. Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Mr. Frederick Lewis, what are the top three challenges for the city of Monroe, and what would you do about them if elected?
Of course, it's going to be similar to what everybody else says. Economic development is a big thing for me because looking at the city of Monroe, we've seen where the city has grown uneven. One side is developed, and we haven't yet developed the full potential of the other side of the city, as well as flooding and infrastructure. And the last thing would be safety. Safety doesn't just involve crime or reduction of crime, but it is creating infrastructure where you can ride down the road and not tear your car up, where people can get off the bus and cross a street safely without being run over. Those are different things that we need to really focus on as we're developing the city. We develop an infrastructure that creates a safe environment for our family and our friends.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Jamie Mayo, top three challenges for the city of Monroe, and what do you do about them?
Well, first of all, unless Dr. Lawrence C. Scott was lying the other night, we're in good shape as it relates to economic development. With all of the trials and tribulations and the challenges that we've had, Monroe is moving in the right direction, and the uptick for the next couple of years will be positive for jobs. And we all, chamber members, you heard that the other night. Now, we do want to get as many jobs as we possibly can, but that's not a problem. Crime, that is a challenge. But the last 2 years, we've had a reduction of crime. We've got so many different programs that we have. I don't see hardly any of these. Ms. Brown, I'll give you credit that you come to some of our meetings. We do appreciate that. Flooding has been raining today. This is the comprehensive plan for the watershed initiative. We're going to get, the state's going to get $1.2 billion, and we're going to get some of that. We already have some of the funding to deal with some of the projects throughout the city of Monroe, in North Monroe as well as in South Monroe. So these are areas that we're already working on. We don't have to tell you what we're going to do. With the city council support, we've been very effective, and we'll continue to be effective when we get reelected for another 4 years.
Thank you, sir. Ronnie Scott, question goes to you. What are the top three challenges for Monroe, and if elected, what do you do about them?
So the top... the top challenge that I, well, we'll just go in order. So antiquated systems prevailed throughout Monroe, Louisiana and the region, and I've been able to find that across the country and across the world, different things that work to solve the problems, things that have been working in other areas that we've been able to take from and be able to implement here in Monroe, and it's really exciting, but that leads into our second problem, which is greed. And there are people that will happily stand in the way of progress for their neighbors if it pads their pocket. And the third is transparency in accounting. Once we open up a little bit of this antiquated system and make it to where you don't have to have multiple degrees to be able to read it, I believe that our city government should be open and responsible and be able to answer dollar amounts, job source questions with exact numbers.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. We want to thank our radio audience for being here with us tonight on 90.3 KEDM. We've got a live broadcast going on right now. At this time, I'm going to bring up KEDM General Manager Jay Curtis. He's going to talk with you a little bit about KEDM. Candidates, here's your chance for a quick breather, and we're going to get going again in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you again so much for being here. Thank you for spending part of your time. Thank you to our radio audience as well as our online audience. We have people listening both there as well. This is what KEDM does. This is what we're about. Civic engagement and the things that we can do to report and to make our area better. Much like these candidates are all working to be the mayor of Monroe to lead the city, KEDM is here to serve you. We're here to ask sometimes the tough questions. You wait to see what some of the other questions Corey's got lined up. But we can only do that with your financial support. yes, this is a pitch. This is a sales pitch. Welcome to the fund drive. We're right here. Because we can only do that when individuals who value this service help pay for this service. That can be in any amount. I see a number of people who are longtime donors in the audience tonight. I'm sure there are many more listening. But thank you for those of you who already give to be a part of KEDM. For those of you who have not, come on in and join us. It's very simple to do in just a $5 or $10 or $15 or $20 a month contribution from our website, but your donation helps fund reliable, fact-based journalism that KEDM provides every day. Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. All right, we're going to get going again in just a moment, but I'm going to remind you again and the folks that are listening via radio that you may not know what's on the ballot. And if you're confused as to what you get to vote on or where you go vote or when registration is, you head to Go Vote. And there's a Go Vote app. It's spelled G-E-A-U-X, vote, the Louisiana way. And it'll tell you where to vote, when to vote. It has candidate details on all of our candidates, their contact information. And you can also request absentee ballots and all of those things. So if you have a question, that's where you go. And again, voting coming up on April 4th, that's a Saturday election, which means we start at 7 a.m. and go to 8 p.m. You do need an ID to vote, and we'll have the results for you at kedm.org. All right, everybody had a breather. Here we go again. The question will go to Friday Ellis first. We just talked about Monroe's biggest challenges, so what is Monroe's greatest opportunity?
I believe we're a riverfront community, and when is the last time you've heard us marketed as a vibrant, historic riverfront community? We act like that river's not there, and there's tons of commerce that can be had. We have an interstate running east and west, but I think it's the river, and I think we do a better job. And with cities strategically positioned the way they are, I think we should be working together on a much better basis. I think we should be working along this I-20 corridor to promote our region. But that river right there, we can't have our boat launches always broke down. I don't know. You've seen the conditions. Just drive over the levee. I think we need to start investing in our river from Forsyth Landing all the way down to Masser Museum and start thinking big and start thinking of the possibilities of a riverfront city that we live on, that we continually act like it's not there. And it's there, and I believe it's something that unites our two cities. I grew up in the Twin Cities. I think it's time we start acting like it again.
Thank you. Next, the question goes to Frederick Lewis. Mr. Lewis, what's Monroe's greatest opportunity?
Well, with any big city desires, we have river, road, air, rail. We have it here. But for me, our greatest resource is our people. We have talent. We have education. We have the ability to do so much more than we've done. We just have to learn how to tap our resources, and we have to learn how to bring people together for a common goal. And when we set our goal, set our mind to accomplishing anything, we can do anything together. And as people, you know, we strive for better for each one of our families. Everybody shares the common goal of wanting better, but it takes somebody to bring us together. It takes a vision and a plan. I have a plan for Monroe to do what we need done so far as utilizing those personal resources in our people.
Mr. Mayo, the question goes to you next. What's Monroe's greatest opportunity?
Here's where the inexperience is showing with my opponents. The Kansas Lane Connector. Y'all heard of that? I-20, Garrett Interchange, the $60 million water project, some early childhood initiative that we're working with the governor on the I-20 Economic Development District, in which we've created $23 million in addition. Also, the Tower Armand Connector, in which there's an additional $11 million. Then the Southside Economic Development District, as well as downtown. We have to work with what we already have in addition to going for new things, because if you're concentrating on all new things, what are you going to do about some of the projects that we already have? The infrastructure projects that we have now are huge. Very few cities throughout this region, throughout this state, throughout this country have an infrastructure commission. We have that, and it was passed under the Melvin Redmond administration. I was a chairman on the council at that time. It's been supported by past council members and also current council members, and I see you.
Thank you, sir. Ronnie Scott, the question goes to you next. Mr. Scott, what's Monroe's greatest opportunity?
So I believe that the greatest opportunity that Monroe has is north and south. We've got a lot of focus has been on the I-20 corridor, and as we've missed a few opportunities for some funding that were backed up later, I believe that the next highway from Little Rock to Baton Rouge runs right through Monroe. And also once the river's dredged, there are this leads to the second biggest opportunity, and that's trash. There's some pretty incredible advancements in recyclables and in mining, to where you won't have to separate out your trash. We won't have to change the behavior of people to do better with our resources. And again, these are some of the things I look forward to showing on rs2020.com.
Mrs. Brown, the question comes to you next. What is Monroe's greatest opportunity?
And I want to thank the mayor for all the things that he has on the books and that he's working on, and that means that's things that we as whoever win won't have to focus on. We'll just have to make sure that those things are finished. But we also need to bring in more things in Monroe, and especially south of Monroe. We have a lot of industrial parks in South Monroe that we're not even utilizing. There's a lot of opportunities to spread things out. Thank you for all those projects that's in the works right now. We'll be glad to work with everybody, but we must focus on our people also. Flooding is an opportunity for us to start focusing on, because water runs south in South Monroe, and when Young's Bayou fill up, that water's going to be backwater. So we need to start looking at things that we can do to work on the flooding, because all this concrete only impedes water. So these are the things we need to start looking at. We need to make sure that we don't spend all our money on...
Mrs. Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you for your answer. And let me move on to Mr. Frederick Lewis. I believe you get the next one. Are we a divided city in Monroe? And what would you do to better foster race relations?
Race relations is as old as time. But we need someone who can challenge our mentality. We need somebody who has the power to bring people together. And even though we have these great projects going on, even though we have these economic districts working, it is nothing if people don't feel a part of that. And we need somebody that can share these goods among the people. It is so divisive in our communities now, and I can tell you, just being an educator, these are things that you see, because we bring mentalities from home, but nobody's willing to show us what to do. Our kids do not see us modeling race relations, so they grow up with the same old sentiment that we have. And as a people, we have to do better. And unless we get leadership that really stands up to challenge us as people, to challenge us as individuals, and myself being a minister and a mentor, I see this on a daily basis, and I know how to address it.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. The question goes to you, Jamie Mayo. Next, are we a divided city, and what do you do to better foster race relations?
My administration has worked extremely hard in this particular area, trying to bring people together, working with the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, working with organizations and clubs and faith-based and everybody. Quite frankly, there are some issues as it relates to economics. Look at my administration. We have a diverse administration. Minorities have the opportunity in high positions in our city. Regardless of what gender you are, what party you are, whatever the case may be, you have an opportunity with the city. I don't always see that throughout the community. We had a conversation on race. We had two. And I had some difficulties getting some of our top leaders, some of whom I'm looking at in this room, to be a part of the conversation on race. Now, that's pathetic. We have to do better. We have to be better. And the only way that we can move forward is to address some of these tough decisions that we have to make each and every day. When you're on the outside looking in, you can say all kinds of things, but once you on the battlefield, then you have to take care of business. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Mayo. Ronnie Scott, question goes to you next. Mr. Scott, are we a divided city in Monroe, and what would you do to better foster race relations?
So I don't believe that we are divided as a whole city, but I believe that the embers are still burning from the hatred and the hurt of the way that people were treated in our country and our state. And the reason I feel confident to share that is because I went down and found my family history book, and so I can go back just a few generations and tell you exactly what my relatives determined that another person's life was worth. At occasion, it was about 30 wagons, a few more mules, different things. And then I looked through, and the parts of hatred that are still propped up today will continue to have us divided and fighting back against each other because we've always done the federally mandated minimum for our neighbors, and that stops now.
Thank you, Mr. Scott. Elmarie Brown, the question goes to you. Mrs. Brown, are we a divided city, and what would you do to better foster race relations if elected?
We are a divided city, and until we get to the point that everybody has to realize that I love Monroe, you love Monroe, and the things that you want in your life, I desire those same things. So until we start feeling our brother, working together, knowing that the enjoyment of life, I don't want to just work and eat. I want to enjoy life too. I want a beautiful community also. So once you bring those things to my community and I don't have to just keep traveling across Louisville to see beauty, close in my ditches, bring beautiful parks to my area, skating parks, skateboard facilities, things that children can love and have something to do. But I bleed and I hurt just like you. So I want my community safe. What you want for you, I want for me. And that's my time.
Thank you, ma'am. Friday Ellis, question goes to you. Are we a divided city? And what would you do to better foster race relations?
I think we are, and I think we still have lots to do from a local standpoint and from a national standpoint. I see it every single day in my shop. I see relationships being built over a commonality. And it's going to take a relationship and to build a relationship over our common goals, over our common pains. For me, this is never a matter of can we move together as one city. It's a matter of do we have the courage and the collective will to come together and be able to work together. And I look forward to leading that charge. It's your witness in this community, and my witness in this community has proven nothing less. I've never asked you for anything other than how can I help, regardless of where you live, regardless of how much money's in your bank, regardless of where you're from. All I want to do is help and provide relationships here in this town and to build relationships here in this town.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. All right, everybody got a shot at that one, right? All right, so the next question, I believe, goes to Jamie Mayo. Sir, does Monroe have a crime problem? And do our police have what they need? And would you allocate resources any differently if you could?
Monroe has a crime challenge and issue. So does West Monroe, Sterlington, Richwood, in every other city throughout the state and throughout the community. As I mentioned earlier, we have so many different programs, the SAVE programs, the working with our kids. We have officers within our school system. We have the OK program. We have the DARE program. We have a number of programs. But not only the city of Monroe, but you have to look at other organizations and clubs and faith-based. There are a lot of folks that's doing things to mentor our young people and also to do things to help some of our older adults. So it's not just the city of Monroe challenge, but it's the entire community. The crime issue or challenge is a community issue. It's not just a city of Monroe issue or a mayor issue or a council issue. It's a community issue. And I see a lot of people working in that area. If it were not for that, it would be much worse than what it is now.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Scott, question goes to you next. Does Monroe have a crime problem? Do our police have what they need? And would you allocate police resources any differently?
The answer is absolutely to at least several of those. One of the things that I did leading up to this, a couple of years ago, we lost Officer Arian Williams in a tragic car accident on response. And around the same time, I was working with my company and a few different municipalities on bringing a faster, safer, cheaper option to our police that would also free up six figures in the budget to give what they all agree is more money and more feet on the street. And once we start addressing those more progressive issues that I believe the administration is just not aware of, then we can start moving forward with the police with the tools that they need.
Thank you. Ms. L. Marie Brown, question comes to you next. Does Monroe have a crime problem? Do the police have what they need? And would you allocate police resources any differently?
Yes, and the question is yes. We do have a crime problem here. The thing is, you take all our children, every time they graduate from high school, those children are being released on the street with nothing to do, nowhere to go, no incentive, no hope, no dreams, no vision. Until we put better money into the police system, because these people are putting their lives on the line every night, we need to make sure that they are taken care of also by communicating with them and finding out exactly what's going on with them, how can we help, what needs to be done. But we're going to have to start with our young people as they grow older. We need to make sure that we're speaking into their lives, giving them some opportunities so that crime won't be the first thing on their mind. So we need to change our community so we can change the mind of our community.
Thank you. Friday Ellis, question comes to you next. Does Monroe have a crime problem? Do our police have what they need? And would you allocate police resources any differently?
Yes, we have a crime problem. I mean, just watch the news and look at your neighborhood watches every day. As far as allocating services, I've heard some discussion about going back to overlapping shifts that used to happen here in Monroe, where we saw heightened crime times here in Monroe, Louisiana, where they would have shift changes, and at any point we can have dual shifts on the streets. I think that's a discussion that is being had within the department, and I'm glad to hear that. We all like to talk about the protection side of things, but I think Marie and a few other people, even the mayor, brought up about the prevention side of things. I think it's imperative that we give the resources to wraparound services, faith-based communities, and different other people here that are nonprofits working so hard, the resources that they need. We need to look into diversion plans so when young men and women get in trouble, that they're not sent directly to jail and that they are steered in the right direction to give them the mentorship and the tools that they need to succeed to potentially save them from entering prison and ruining the rest of their lives by a mistake they made at a younger age. And those are things that we need to look into, and I think we need to strengthen.
Thank you. Frederick Lewis, question goes to you next. Does Monroe have a crime problem? Do our police have what they need, and would you allocate police resources any differently?
Oh, as part of my fuse plan for the city, one of the things that I would really like to do is give the police a pay raise. One of the things that you will do that, or one of the reasons that why you will do that, is it makes them feel better about the time they put in when you feel like you're being paid worth your time. Teachers need the same thing. I'm just plugging that in. as well as we face a problem with recidivism. What do we do with offenders when they get out of jail? You know, have we made an opportunity for them to fit back into society? If you don't, then we have that crime problem recycling itself, even though what we want to do is, hey, just lock them up, throw away the key. As well as, I'm an African American, we don't want to just increase policing, because what that does is it increases a disproportionate minority contact with police officers. So what I would encourage us to do is to get police officers out there where the where there is more than a punitive contact with the community. You have to put them out there where they understand the police, the people that they're policing.
Thank you. Mr. Scott, the question, next question comes to you first. By the way, I want to remind folks that are listening on the radio right now, this is 90.3 KEDM. You're listening to a forum at the Monroe Civic Center. We're live at the Civic Center tonight with the candidates for mayor. In conjunction tonight with the Monroe Chamber of Commerce. We're all going to be back here again next Monday night, and we're going to get a chance to meet the city council candidates. That begins at 6 p.m. Back here in this same building. So thank you for being here. Thank our radio audience for being here, and we hope to see you all again next week. All right, Mr. Scott, this one goes to you first. And a recent Spectrum Gaming report shows that the Shreveport casino market's beginning to dry up a bit, with the folks from Dallas, Fort Worth now going to Oklahoma instead of coming to Shreveport. Diamond Jack's casino in Shreveport has expressed an interest in moving its casino operations somewhere else in Louisiana. Would you support or oppose a Monroe casino?
So there's ways to support and oppose that on multiple levels. Personally, I would not, but if the people wanted to take it to a vote, I believe they have a right to do that. I think one of the problems with some of our local administration is that they don't look too far down the road. They look to Shreveport-Bossier to model things, and as you said, it's been a pretty steady digression for decades now. And so as people are running up that 75 and that 35 stretch in Dallas, and the way that infrastructure has been built out to make way for progress is the level of foresight that I plan to bring to the city of Monroe for the next 5, 10, and 20 years, because this is what we're talking about.
Thank you. Mrs. Brown, would you support or oppose a Monroe casino?
I would have to say the same thing, too. I would have to leave that up to the voters. If it, I think that Monroe right now, the average person, poor person income is $750 a month. So look what kind of hardship we're going to put on those people trying to win the jackpot. You know, I'm not totally opposed to gambling, but I don't want to be the one to push gambling. So, but if the people speak and want a casino, then the people have spoken.
Mr. Ellis, question goes to you next. Would you support or oppose a Monroe casino?
Personally, I would not support a casino. The house always wins, and it disproportionately affects the poor in a community. And who's left to pick up the pieces? Our faith-based communities and everyone else who's already working hard enough to try to deal with the current problems that we have right now through homelessness, through poverty. I mean, 33% of our population lives in poverty, and that's 16% below the national average. Those aren't good statistics. If you want to find an investment I'm looking into, let's talk about the workforce of the future. Why aren't we working with Monroe City Schools and implementing STEM programs such as Swift Coding to attract businesses of the future, right? CenturyLink's here. It's been here. And the biggest problem they've had was recruiting IT engineers here in Monroe, Louisiana. They have laid down the gauntlet for us as business leaders and as the city for us to develop a workforce of the future. And time again, that we have proven that we cannot do it here in Monroe, Louisiana, because we haven't invested in the workforce that is needed. It's workforce development that will bring meaningful economic change for future generations.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lewis, would you support or oppose a Monroe casino?
Well, I would oppose it personally. Of course, I would leave that up to the voters. There are so many reasons why we should think about bringing gambling to the city that it brings with it its ills. If it did not work in Shreveport, and Shreveport has larger resources, more jobs, more people with money to spend, what makes us think that it would be something that would be a viable option here? And the negativity that it leaves us is something, as Mr. Ellis said, would definitely leave us picking up the pieces. We have to consider the citizens that it serves and how it would better them is not through gambling. We don't want to be a city desperate for dollars. And not only not a city desperate for dollars, but we need to more invest in wholesome economic structure that will bring the results that we desire.
Thank you. Jamie Mayo, the question goes to you next, sir. Would you support or oppose a Monroe casino?
You can't legislate morality. I would support a casino because it brings jobs. It's brought jobs to Bossier. It's brought jobs to Shreveport and some of the other places. All these jobs that you have, but not only are people gambling, but they're also, these casinos are providing funding for education for a number of different areas as well. So I guess I'm the only one that's got guts to say that up here. But the other thing I want to say to Mr. Ellis, I know he didn't know this, but we already support a STEM program. We gave $25,000 to Monroe City School System through CenturyLink. So I thought I'd let you know since you didn't know.
Thank you, sir. All right, we are going to run out of time, and I've got a big stack of questions, and we're not going to get to all of them tonight, unfortunately. We'll save some of those for the city council candidates next week. I just want to ask a quick one, and just a quick answer from you guys. And let's see, who do we go to? I think it's you, Mrs. Brown. We'll start at that end. Just a quick answer. Do you support or oppose a new arena?
No, my long answer.
All right. Mr. Ellis, new arena, yes or no?
No.
Mr. Lewis?
No.
Mr. Mayo?
Yes, 1,100 jobs, 600 construction jobs, 500 permanent jobs, 1,100 jobs.
Mr. Yes. Scott, new arena.
We're going to pivot off that old idea, and again, that'll be coming on rs2020.com soon.
All right. Thank you very much. Folks, we'll get our candidates to give a two-minute closing statement in just a moment. Again, I want to remind you that Election Day is April the 4th. The deadline to register to vote is March the 4th to vote in person or by mail. The deadline to register using the Go Vote app is March the 14th. Now, early voting is coming up March 21st through 28th, except for that Sunday, March 22nd, and that's 8:30 in the morning till 6 p.m. And the deadline to request an absentee ballot is March 31st. And again, if you don't know what's on the ballot, head to the Go Vote app, G-E-A-U-X. You can see a sample ballot. You can find out where you're supposed to go vote. You can find out the times. You can register to vote. All of those things are there. I want to take an opportunity before we get to the end to thank the candidates. Candidates, thank you for running. This is a tough deal to jump into, and we appreciate candidates putting themselves out there. Whether it turns out good for you or bad for you, thank you for running at least, and we do appreciate that. You'll have a chance to hear from these candidates at various other forums throughout the upcoming weeks. We'll also record this tonight. It's on our website, kedm.org. I'll put it there in the morning. You have a chance to go back and listen to it and find out more. Candidates, at the end of the night tonight, I encourage you to stick around and talk to this room full of folks that we have here with us tonight. And it's time for closing statements, and I've got to check with our guys and see who goes first. Mr. Ellis, you get the opportunity to make a two-minute closing statement.
Awesome. Thank you, KDM, and thank you, Chamber, for putting this on. It's been an honor to be able to speak to the people tonight. As a small business owner, I've had 6 years of one-hour conversations over a cigar with people from all over Monroe. And one thing I've learned is that we share the same goals, we share the same hopes and the same dreams for our neighborhoods, but I also understand we share common pains, and that's through flooding and crime and lack of opportunity here in Monroe, Louisiana. When I started this journey, I said that this city needed a revival. We needed a community revival, we needed an economic revival, and we needed a spiritual revival to grow as one. Because if we're going to grow as a city in a meaningful way, we need to grow as one and work together to relieve some of these common pains that we face across the city of Monroe, Louisiana. So again, this has never been for me about can we do it. This is about do we have the collective will to come together as one to forge new relationships in this city, to form a new economy here in Monroe, Louisiana, and I'm saying we do because I'm looking at everyone in this city right now who is in attendance today, and I think everybody's paying close attention to this election. I see that you're all concerned, and I look forward to the opportunity to working with each and every one of you as your mayor if I'm so elected. I want to thank you. My name is Friday Ellis. I'm number 187 on your ballot, and I'm asking for your voice. I'm asking for your vote. And I'm asking for your support. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis. Next, closing statement, Frederick Lewis. Sir, 2 minutes.
Thank you to the Chamber and to KDM for putting this on, and I'm glad to be here tonight. And tonight, we've heard many ideas and many suggestions, but really, this election is going to boil down to one thing. It's going to boil down to leadership. Now, a good leader manages the things that he's been given. But a great leader, he leverages his people and his resources to get more out of them than they thought they could ever give, such that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And
leadership deals with trust. Who can you trust? Who can you trust in your tough times? Who can you trust to do what's best for the city of Monroe? Who can you trust to bring jobs? Who can you trust to be honest? Who can you trust to be transparent? Let me tell you that you can trust me. I got into this race because I love our community. I got into this race because I love our people. I've been here all my life. I'm vested here. I've mentored here. I teach here. I live here. I work here. I play here. And for me, it is so important that we give Monroe our best. We've been divided for so long on political, racial, economic, and other lines, divided by the railroad track that separates the city. But I want to be the mayor you can trust to bring us together. I want to be the mayor you trust to hear your voice, to hear your complaints, and to do something about the problems that we face. I'm number 188 on the ballot. I'm Frederick Lewis. I need your vote. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. Jamie Mayo, 2 minutes, sir, for a closing statement.
Mr. Lewis, and I'm Jamie Mayo. Okay, I thought I'd just say that.
Mr. Mayo. Mr. Mayor Mayo.
Thank you very much. I want to thank KDM as well and the Monroe Chamber of Commerce for putting on this forum. I can't help but to think about the fact that I've almost been killed twice serving you, the citizens of the city of Monroe, in an accident a couple of weeks ago in D.C., and then several years ago coming back from Baton Rouge. And so I had to ask myself when I was in the emergency room in D.C., is it worth it? It didn't take me very long to understand and to say, yes, it is worth it, because I'm helping not only my family members, who I have two adult children and a grandson and my wife, but also all of you. And that's why I've worked hard. And there's been many trials and tribulations concerning things that we've had to go through. I've lost a mother, I've lost a brother that have passed away, I've lost in-laws that have passed away, but I still work extremely hard each and every day, and I continue to do that. We are in the best financial shape in the city history. When I came in, we probably had close to $1 million surplus or fund balance. Now we're at almost $15 million. And that goes without saying is because of the hard work, not only myself, but city council support, my administration, both past and present. We've had about 184 new businesses that opened in the city of Monroe just in 2019. We've had some 2,000 businesses that have opened since 2001. And it goes without saying again, because that's been a lot of hard work, and that light is on many nights at City Hall, and it'll continue to be on. That's why I'm asking for your vote and your support for re-election. I take this job very seriously. Experience is what this is all about. It's not time to bring somebody in that doesn't have any experience or somebody that have moved to Monroe just to run for this office. And I'm glad that Eddie Hakem does not support me. He's supporting Mr. Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayo. Ronnie Scott, sir, you are up next. A two-minute closing statement, Mr. Scott.
So I want to thank the University of Louisiana Monroe as well as Louisiana Delta Community College for sticking with me and still accepting my money, even though I made it hard for them. But being able to distinguish qualitative and quantitative issues, and I believe that without the transparency in that, first you've got to know what you have, then you have to know what to do with it. And again, I'm really excited. I've been following politics ever since a government class in 2004. I remember working a forum up in the library, and it was right when the mayor's council said that $8.58 an hour for police was just enough, and right before his raise went into effect. So it's never really been about everybody else, and it's so easy to retaliate with that when the source is self-consuming and a benefit of one trumps the benefit to the whole, then that's what we've got to... That's the reason they don't want it up on the table, and I'm really excited to show some of the things I've found over the last 20 years.
Thank you, sir. Ms. L. Marie Brown... Ma'am, you have 2 minutes to make a closing statement.
number is 186 on the ballot. Everybody that starts any journey starts off not knowing anything. No matter how much you have been in a job, you still has to be able to have vision for more than just what you are doing. So my thing is, yes, all of us are new, 19 years, the mayor, but it took you 19 years just to stay two districts. So I don't have another 4 years to come to South Monroe. We need to make this truly one city. We're focusing on arena now. That's unnecessary. And I hear you say 11,000 jobs, but that's only temporary jobs. 1,100 jobs? Okay, I'm sorry. 1,100 jobs. We need to do some jobs that are sustainable for Monroe. Now, we're all new in this game, but we all see the problems. And if we see the problems and you can't see what we see, that's a problem. So let's get outside of your own self and take on the things that we're saying, because if it wasn't a problem, you wouldn't have four people running against you with no experience. So it's time for us to look at all aspects. This is why people want change right now. It's time for change. Let us come together, listen to our concerns, and see if we can make these things come to fruition. I love Monroe is my slogan. I love where I live and I live where I love. I love living on the South Side. I just want it to look good. I want to bring jobs. I want to bring a whole lot of things to our community for our children, and that's my time.
Thank you, Mrs. Brown. Again, candidates, we appreciate you all being here tonight. Thank you very much for giving of your time. Again, thank you for putting yourself out there for the community and for this election. A reminder again for the folks that are in the room or listening, voting day is April the 4th. That's a Saturday, and polls will open at 7 a.m., close at 8 p.m. Don't forget you've got to register to vote. You're going to need an ID, and we'll have results for you on our website, kedm.org. I'm Corey Crow. Thanks for being with us on 90.3 KEDM. This is KEDM Monroe. All right, candidates, thank you for being here. Stick around, and please be sure and talk to our folks in media. We'll make them available for you in just a minute. A reminder, everybody, we're back here Monday night. We're going to do this again with the city council folks.